So I've been talking for several weeks about the fact that we're winners and that we are to take the promises that God has given us, that our promised land are the promises of God. That's what our promised land is. It's the promises of God. Hallelujah. God gave the Israelites a promised land, but there were giants in the land. And they would go into the promised land and take the land. God gave us as born-again believers a promised land. Come on, people. You know what? You got to get a little excited about what God is saying to the church. I mean, listen, every word in there is true. Yeah, there you go. Hallelujah. Get Larry up here and let him show you how to worship. Stand up here on the corner and holler and carry on. Hallelujah. Bless God. But see, God gave us these promises. And we read them like, yeah, I know that. I know that. I've read that. I've heard that. You know what? You need not to just hear it. You need to get excited about it every time you read it. And every time you read it, man, I'm telling you, just act like it's the first time you ever heard it. Praise God. But just as there were giants in the promised land, in their promised land, there are giants in our promised land. Pain, doubt, and other things that this enemy has set up to defeat us. When we got born again, we got righteous. And we cut covenant with Jesus Christ. And as that, we have certain rights. See, some people don't realize they got rights. You got rights. You got a right to be here. Hallelujah. We were sent here to take over. We were. God wanted them to expand the garden. And because of that we have certain rights, we have a right to go in and take what's ours. See, first of all, I want you to understand that the kingdom of God is not heaven. See, people have always thought the kingdom of God is heaven. It's not. Luke 17:21 says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. Come on, people. You're a child of God. You're the righteousness of God. You have certain rights. Hallelujah. Quit crawling around like you have no right to be here. You know what? Sherry, going out the door, people cow down. They won't say anything to people because they think they might make them nervous or embarrass themselves. You know what? Bless God, you have a right to be here. And that person may be going to hell if you don't say something. You understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, ask the Lord to take that fear out of you, fear of man. Because, you know, we think, well, the world don't believe this, and, you know, I'm just wasting my time. No, you're planting seed. You know, bless God. I may not see them get saved, but I'll mark them for the kingdom of God, and they will. Hallelujah. I hold the Lord to his promise. He said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. That's what he told me. He would give me the heathen for my inheritance. And we were all heathen before we got saved. So bless God. You know, he will give us, hallelujah, people as we ask for them. Glory to God. So everyone I see, I mark them. And if I can get my hand on them, I'll get my hand on them and mark them for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I don't go running somebody down, but, you know, that soul is mine. There's another realm that we're supposed to be living out of. In that realm is all that Jesus has provided us as believers. Do you remember the Syrophoenician woman? In Mark 15:22, and look at this. This talks about several things, but we're going to hit it from this angle today. Matthew 15:22 says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Why did she say, thou son of David? She's reminding him of covenant promises. Even though she's not in the covenant, she's reminding him that there was a covenant cut. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. See, first of all, he just ignored her. And most of us, are, I ain't going back to that church. You know, they're nasty there. You know, she didn't do that. I'm telling you, if you go to God and you ask for something and you didn't get it yet, don't give up. Just keep worshiping him and crying out to God. Hallelujah. And he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. See, rejection. You see that? Get her out of here. She's crying and making a noise. Hallelujah. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, I'm leaving this church. I ain't going here anymore. They made fun of me. They hurt my feelings. Well, it's not about us. And if you want something from God, don't back up, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him. See, he said, I'm not even sent to you. This is not your dispensation. Hallelujah. It's not your dispensation. She didn't let that offend her. Do you see that? She didn't let it offend her. She just kept going. She just kept crying out. And even after he said, he ignored her, and then he said, you know, this is not for you. She just kept worshiping him. Glory to God. You see, it's ours. And you just keep worshiping. He's not trying to hold things from you. There may be something there that you don't even know about. And as you start worshiping him, God will send angels. He'll send angels to help you and deliver you. You understand that? But he answered and said, now look what he said. It's not meat, or it's not right to take. We don't use that word meat anymore, but it means that it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to a dog. Now that does it. I'm not coming back here. Call me a dog. Who do you think you're talking to? No. But she said, that's right, Lord. That's right. Yet the dogs. See, when you go to the Lord and you begin to ask for something and the devil begins to whisper in your ear, you're not worthy. You have no right to be here. You've sinned. Agree with him. Yes, I've sinned. But because, Lord Jesus, did I got a right to be here? Sometimes I say to him, you know, I'll just say to him, devil, I'm not here because of anything I've done or not done. I'm here because Jesus paid for something and I'm here to get it. Hallelujah. So she didn't walk away. She just kept pushing in. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dog, see, you don't have to agree with the devil that you're not righteous and don't agree with him, but agree with him. Yes, I've sinned. There's no use in denying it. Yes, I've sinned. But it's under the blood, fella. Hallelujah. Bless God. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Bless God, all you need is a crumb. You don't need a whole loaf. Just get a crumb. Hallelujah. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see that? Hallelujah. There's only two places in the Word where God commended someone because of their faith. Hallelujah. One was the Syrophoenician woman, and the other was the centurion. Yeah. And what they had in common was they neither one were in the covenant. Come on. They knew how to get what was theirs, but you don't. You're in the covenant, and you don't go get what's yours. See, I'm pushing you this morning. I'm pushing you. Hallelujah. See, there was a giant in her land, but she got the promise anyway. It wasn't even time for her. She wasn't in the right dispensation. Hallelujah. We, after Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, have a right to go into that kingdom and get our needs met. She didn't even have that right, but she kept worshiping. And she kept saying, bless God, if anybody's going to get healed here, it might as well be me. Anybody going to get their needs met, might as well be me. Anybody going to have peace this morning, might as well be me. Hallelujah. Jesus paid for it, I'm after it. Hallelujah, it's mine, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, Jesus took back what Adam lost, and he gave it to the church. What did Adam lose? Before he sinned, things were perfect. He didn't have to provide for himself. He had peace and security. He had knowledge. He had no sickness, no disease, no poverty. He didn't have to sweat. You know what? You know what sweat is? Hallelujah. Sometimes we work and work up a sweat, but then there's other times we just sweat in the spirit. You know, we're just concerned. Something's hitting that, and I'm not sure what it is. Hallelujah. He had no worries. There were no addictions in the garden. Hallelujah. And when he bowed his knee to that wicked stepfather, he lost all that, and the curse come upon all the earth. Hallelujah. Sin came into the world, and with it came all the giants. I'm going to ask you back there, does it sound like I'm ringing to you? It sounds real ringing. You don't, okay. Hallelujah. When he bowed his knee to that wicked stepfather, he lost all that he had, and the curse came upon the earth. Sin came into the world with all its giants, sickness, disease, accidents, worry, fear, loss, poverty, all the things the devil uses to torment you with. You understand that? Hallelujah. But when Jesus came, the perfect man, he was all God, yet he was all man, but he lived a sinless, spotless life, took on himself every temptation known to man, face all that you and I will ever face. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He didn't leave anything that I have to face. He faced it all. So, you know, every temptation, so that I could come out victorious. Some of you need to look up the word victory and find out what it means. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faced with all that you and I ever will face. He went to hell as a man who had never sinned and was in hell illegally. He spent 3 days and nights in hell paying for every sin that was ever committed. You understand? Hallelujah. And he came out with victory. Hallelujah. Then he said, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. And he turned to the church and said, now go you. He turned all that authority back over to man, except that there was one big difference. Hallelujah. Ooh, he'd already faced it. He'd already faced it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, he has a whole lot more confidence in you than you got in yourself. You know why? Because he knows. He looks at everything through his son, and his son already paid the price. People, this will set you free. Ooh, glory. I wish somebody had taught me this years ago. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18, he said, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, ooh, hallelujah, I am with you always. Always. Do you understand that you don't leave him someplace? Hallelujah. He's with you always. Glory to God. Said, I'll never leave you. He said, even unto the end of the world. I mean, he's not ever going to leave you, people. I can't do anything bad enough to get him to leave me. You understand? Hallelujah. He promised, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm your Father. Hallelujah. Bless God. Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. How much of the power? All the power of the enemy. That means the devil has a little power, but we have authority over his power. And nothing. You know what nothing means? Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we, like the children of Israel, have been given a mandate. Go expand the garden. Take what I've provided for you. I've won the war for you. Now you go and fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Take it back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, when he talked to the children of Israel, he said, the land is yours. It's yours. It's yours. Didn't look like it was theirs, did it? I mean, they're standing out there. There's giants in the land. And he's already promised, I give you the promised land. Read it for yourself. Hallelujah. I have given you the promised land. Didn't look like it. There was giants in the land. They were big. The Israelites didn't have anything to fight with. They had all this stuff, and they were big. And yet he said, I've given it to you. Now, didn't he say to the church, by his stripes you're healed? He said, go in the power and the authority. I've given it to you. And yet we cower and act like we don't have it because we're going by what we see. Hallelujah. You go by what you see in the spirit. Glory to God. He said, take the land. I'm telling you today, take the land. 1 John 3:8 says, he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. He takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned or violated the divine law from the beginning. Now look at this. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil, or the works the devil has done. See? Bless God. That's the reason he came. Glory to God. Did he fail? No, he did just what, I mean, the works of the devil have been loosened, undone, destroyed, and dissolved. You understand that? Glory to God. Romans 8:37 says, nay. That means no. They talk funny back there. Some people think I still talk funny, but stick with me. Hallelujah. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more, glory to God. I've told you that before. When Hollyfield beat Tyson, you know, and he got this big check. He was a conqueror. He went home and gave the wife, you know, his wife the check, and she was more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Do you see that Jesus has provided for us all that we'll ever need to take over and be victorious? He paid it all. But most Christians are living like they have no rights. You know, and I'll tell you something else that's gotten on this country and on the Christians. We've thrown up our hands and said, what's the use? Things are just going down the tube. Things are getting worse and worse. I'm going to tell you something. God started this country, and it's his idea and his dream, and he ain't never been whipped by the devil yet. I don't care what it looks like. Glory to God. We're going to come out victorious, and we're going to come out rich. The wealth of the ungodly is laid up for the just, and we're the just. Hallelujah. And so we lay claim on what's ours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, say glory. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. But see, most Christians are living like they have no right. And so many of the Christians, now they're coming out of the closet now. Everybody else is coming out of the closet. We Christians might as well too. Hallelujah. But you know, for years they said, stay out of politics. I've had people get on me because they used to bring Don Manzullo into my Sunday school class to just encourage people to vote. And I'd say, now, I can't tell you how to vote. And he'd say, go ahead, Evelyn, tell them how to vote. Anyway, I got a lot of criticism for bringing people into the church like that. Keep politicking out of the church. Well, yeah, keep politics out, but let's don't keep our brains out, okay? Praise God. See, we took all of everybody out of the court system. We took them out of the schools. You know, we took all the Christians, you know, we set our kids over, and I'm not against Christian schools. I love that. But when you take all the salt, you know, put it in the shaker instead of putting it, you know, you put them all together. You know, bless God, some of these kids need to get out there and be, I tell my grandson, and you know what? See, I taught my kids, you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. When that kid graduated, he graduated, and I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on Jesus and the Word. You understand? He graduated last year from high school, and it'd be year before last because this is his second year of college. He won that president's scholarship. There was only 7 or 8 given all over the country. He won a full ride to Rockford College. Rockford College. It's called University of Rockford or something now. For 4 years. And I told him, I said, son, hallelujah. You say, well, is he real smart? Yeah, he's smart. But you know what? He's got the favor of God on him. And he knows he's the head and not the tail. He knows he's... And I told him, I said, if you won't compromise, you can take the head of these arts. He's in the arts and he's a performer. But I told him, I said, you know what? You can take these tops back again. If you will not compromise. When he went into this, he's like an actor and a singer. There was only one straight guy in that. Only one. He said, well, you're sending him in with wolves. No, you know what? We've raised that kid to know who he is. And they're not going to contaminate him. Hallelujah. Because he knows who he is. And his dad he stays right on him. Hallelujah. We're not throwing him to the wolves. You understand? We're going to have to take some strong Christians to go in and take some of these leadership positions. Take back the arts. Take back Hollywood. Hallelujah. Take back the judge system, you know, and put some godly judges in there. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, I want you to understand that as a born-again Christian, we're not fighting for a position of victory, but from a position of victory. You understand? The war has been won. Jesus left nothing undone. Once you got saved, you arrived in the promised land. You arrived in the promised land of healing. You arrived in the promised land of deliverance. You arrived in the promised land of provision and victory. But you're going to have to go after it, just like they did with the giants. So do you see that we're not fighting to get victory? We're fighting from a position of victory. Hallelujah. We are healed, and Satan is trying to take our healing back from us. Jesus got us healed when he took the stripes on his back for our healing. He paid for it. It's mine. Now, you know what? Anything else in this world, if the devil tried to steal it from you, you'd fight him. If somebody come in and was taking your television, you know, that big television, hallelujah, or if they were taking your iPad, you're going to just let them take it? Well, go ahead. No, you're going to stop them. You're going to go back. If you got to go to court, that's mine. You're giving it back. But we'll let the devil walk right into our house, take our healing, take our family, take our peace. Hallelujah. And we just let him walk in and take it. It's about time we stand up. Get up off your blessed assurance and begin to stand for what God says. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, I'm not working to get to heaven. I'm already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm not working to get righteous. I've already been made righteous. And from a position of righteousness, I proceed to do righteous things. You understand that? Ephesians 1, starting with verse 18. And you can pray this. Take this and pray it over your family. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. See, know what your inheritance is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Not according to what the working of what I can do or conjure up with my mind. Which he has wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far. Say far. No, not like that. Say far. Above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things, how much? All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Glory to God. You understand, from the bottom of the little toe, I'm still seated above the enemy. Glory to God. See, I'm part of the body. Don't matter which. And man, too many ears trying to be a foot. And too many feet trying to be a mouth. Hallelujah. And too many legs trying to be eyes. Come on, we get in our position. I don't have to be jealous of what you got. I don't have to be jealous of your gift. Hallelujah. God has put giftings and things in me. Hallelujah. And I can look inside there and whatever I need's in there. And I can pull it out. Hallelujah. As I need it. You understand that? You got to know that. Be assured of who you are in him. Then you won't be jealous of anybody. Hallelujah. You think I like looking like this? You know, I would have picked out to look like somebody else. I would have. I mean, I'd had my ideas. But this is what God liked. You understand? He thinks I'm pretty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He thinks, you know, he don't have any ugly kids. So bless God. I have to be satisfied with who he made me and stay in my position. People will say to me, oh, I want to do what you do. I want to be up front. Honey, that's only about a fourth. Not even that. A tenth. What time up here? Wait, you know, Bev and I were talking about this week. You think every time I get up here and teach you this stuff, I don't have warfare in the spirit? The enemy will hit you with everything he's got. He'll tell you, well, what'd you say that dumb thing for? And I go over in my mind. I mean, he'll just aggravate you if you let him. And you know what? You gotta. If you're in a leadership position, I mean, people would say dumb things to you. You gotta be nice. You gotta be nice anyway, but especially, you know, even when I'm out someplace, I can't ever lose my temper outside. You know, say if you're even someplace where nobody you don't think knows. I was in Israel, and some lady come running up, Evelyn Gibson. What are you doing over here? We were in the Bahamas and somebody came up to us and said, what are you doing here? So, you know, no matter where you go, there's somebody and you're to uphold. And no matter what people say, you got to be nice to them. Hallelujah, because that's the way God called it. Now, you do too, but the more in leadership you are, the more demand is made on you. And let me tell you something else. God's going to hold teachers and preachers to a higher standard, you know, because of what he's called us to do. So be careful looking and wanting somebody else's position. Hallelujah. See, when you begin to think like that, you begin to understand that you're not trying to get something that has already been obtained. Jesus already fought for us to have everything. And our job is just to rest in his promise. Enter into that promise. Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Hebrews 4:10 says, see, I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I want you to know I'm not making this stuff up, okay? This didn't originate with me. God said it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:10 says, for he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. I want to show you that everything I'm teaching is biblical. Jesus fought for you to have everything you have. And now you have to rest in the promised land. He brought you through your Red Sea. He brought you through the difficult trials. Now you have to receive this truth. I have arrived in the promised land. Hallelujah. My friend Sue down here, back 7 or 8 months ago, she got very, very sick and ended up in the hospital in Madison. And when I went up there, Bev and I went, and she looked more dead than alive. I mean, she really, if I would have looked at what I saw, I wouldn't have ever expected her to be back here. But we didn't look what we see. Bev and I went in there and began to do some warfare and went up more than once and did some warfare, and we watched her come through that, and now she's here. Hallelujah. And 25 years ago, hallelujah, yeah. 25 years ago, the devil tried to lay breast cancer on her and take her out, and she came through that. Hallelujah. See, you don't have to let the devil take you out. I mean, if she'd have listened to all those reports those doctors were saying, and even there was something come up on, now, I'm not getting weird. I'm just going to tell you what happened. There was something come up on my phone, and she didn't send it. But you know, it just said that it said some awful things, and it just something to put fear in me. And she didn't send it. You know what? Said it came from her. You think the devil doesn't play tricks and can't do some things? But my God is greater. And don't get all hooked up in that and get all worried that, you know, just everything that the devil comes at you with. Just know if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's not. And if it's not good, go after it. Hallelujah. Because you have the authority. Hallelujah. Is that clear to everybody? Amen. See, the Bible is pretty clear on the fact that we've been liberated. And Jesus is responsible for the liberty that you can walk in. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. See, the Bible warns us in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Some people don't get their prayers answered because they don't serve one another by love. See, everything works by love. Your faith works by love. You have to walk in love. You can get angry at injustice. You can even get angry at the spirit that's working in somebody. But we're going to have to walk in love. Hallelujah. And see, he said we've been called into liberty. But don't use that liberty. People say, well, you know, if you teach this and everybody's sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, and you teach this, you're just going to cause people to just go out and sin. No, he said there, don't use this liberty as an occasion to sin. You understand? Religion has taught us, you know, do good, get good, do bad, get bad. But you know what? Even sometimes when I've done bad, when I've gone to God, do you know, this always just amazes me. It's the grace of God. There are times when I've just messed up. Now, I'm not doing any overt sins, and I've cleaned my life up as best I know how. But how many of you know sometimes we mess up, and we know we've messed up? And yet those times seem to be the time when Jesus comes the closest to me. Did you ever experience that, where he'll just wrap his arms around you? Now, don't go out and sin, so he comes and hugs you. But you know, when you really have that contrite heart and you're so sorry for that, and it just seems like he'll just anoint you and bless you, because see, it's him that does the work. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. See, don't use that liberty as an occasion to sin. There's something that happens to us when we're told not to do something. You know that? You know what I mean? Did you ever? All you can think about is that very thing. And when you're a little kid and you know your mama say, don't do this or that, and you just had to, you probably weren't as rebellious as me, but you know, you just had to do it a little bit, you know, if you just did a little bit. Well, thank God Jesus came and was tempted like that. Hallelujah. You know, aren't you glad that Jesus paid for that? And he was tempted just like that. He never yielded to the temptation so that I can walk like he did. When I miss it, I can rest in the fact that if I repent, he forgives me because he paid for my sin. I want to ask you, does that make you want to sin more? No. Makes me want to serve him because of how much he did for me. Makes me want to just love him more and find ways to serve him more. When Abraham Lincoln signed the declaration that to set the slaves free, a lot of them didn't go free. Why? Because they didn't know they were free. That Emancipation Declaration unlocked the door of slavery. But some stayed there because they didn't realize that the door was unlocked. They didn't know it wasn't locked. Hallelujah. Some of you in a prison that the devil made for you, and you know what? You don't know the door's been unlocked. All you've got to do is come out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some knew it, but they didn't get out because of the fear of the unknown. As bad as slavery was, it was better than the unknown. You understand? Some of you don't, because of fear, you stay where you're at because you know that's familiar to you. Well, get up. Get up and come on out. Hallelujah. You know, Christians are like that. They've been set free. They've been healed. They've been given deliverance, but they don't know it. And they're still waiting for Jesus to come do something. Can you imagine what would have happened if the slaves had waited for Abraham Lincoln to come and open the door for them? They'd still be there, wouldn't they? We've been set free. But you're waiting for Jesus to come and heal you, come and deliver you, come and hand you some finances. He fought the battle. He prayed, paid the price. He beat the devil. He took care of the sin and sickness problem. Now he told us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. The greater one's on the inside of you, ready to enforce what you go after. Oh, glory. Come on, people. Come on. The greater one is on the inside of you, ready to enforce what you go after, as long as you go after what the Word says. Hallelujah. Get up and go after what belongs to you legally. Hallelujah. So when you get that type of liberty that comes from God, you'll not go after wild things and all kinds of sin. People have said to me, well, God said I could have that man's wife. I know it was God because I had my Bible open on my seat in my car when I drove up and met this man. Now that's just ignorance gone to seed. You understand? Hallelujah. You know, go by what the Word says. And when you get this type of liberty, you'll not go after that kind of thing. When you know who you really are and you've really been liberated, you'll be exactly where you're supposed to be, found right in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get up in the morning and declare, I'm found right in Christ. I'm righteousness of God. I'm loved by God. I walk in freedom. I walk in liberty. I walk in favor and good understanding. Begin to say those things. We want the knowledge of knowing Jesus through a new covenant. We don't just want knowledge. Knowledge by itself can make you a Pharisee, you know. And if you're a Pharisee, that makes you sad, you see. Hallelujah. We don't want to have knowledge that'll help the enemy. The Pharisees used their knowledge to help Herod determine when Jesus was coming. We want knowledge and the experience of Jesus through the Word of God. Know who Jesus is through the Word. He is the way. Oh, glory to God. You know, sometimes I'm sitting at a stoplight or a stop sign, and these cars just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, and I got to get someplace quick. I say, Jesus, you said you're the way. I need a way out of this traffic. And you say, well, Evelyn, that's just dumb. Well, don't knock it if you haven't tried it. I mean, praise God, or just come an opening. I just get out through there and go where I need to go. Hallelujah. He said he's the way. He said he's the truth. Hallelujah. He's the door. Glory to God. If I need a door. You know, sometimes the devil will say to me, there's no way out of this one. Oh, yes, there is. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. He is the door. And that door's been unlocked. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. He's the light. He's the salt. And he's the healer. He's done it all. See, we have a hard time getting that into our head, that he took care of my sin problem. He did away with the penalty of sin by bearing my sin, all my sin, not just the ones I did before I got saved, all of them. Hallelujah. You understand that? He bore it all. Hallelujah. He bore it all. Praise God. He took care of my sin problem. He did away. See, people say, well, God's gone soft on sin. And, you know, in the Old Testament, God was hard on sin. But in the New Testament, God's easy. He's winking and saying, oh, no, he's not. He took all the sin and put it on Jesus Christ. And you'll never be judged by God. Do you understand that? I'll never be judged by God because that'd be double jeopardy. And I talked to you about that last week. Hallelujah. See, he won't judge Jesus for something and then judge me for it too. He will not do that. You understand? Hallelujah. Because the penalty of my sin was put on Jesus. The judgment that should have been mine. There used to be a song people would sing, I should have been crucified. People would just worship and praise God. I should have been crucified. You know, what good would it have been done for you to be crucified? Hallelujah. He had to be crucified. The only sinless, spotless. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It said, you know, just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was given to die for something for you and me. Anyway, then it still goes on to say, I should have been crucified. Should have been me on that cross. Well, that sounds real religious, but honey, it wouldn't have done a bit of good because you couldn't pay for it. There was sin in your blood. You were born a sinner because of Adam and because, you know, God had to bring a man back into this earth to pay, and he had to get in legally, a sinless, spotless lamb. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. See, let me ask you this. What could you do to take care of your sins anyway? You know, we want to do something. You know, I want to repent and lay on my face for 4 days. And read my Bible for 20 years, and you know, then maybe I'll be found worthy. You know what? And you ought to read your Bible. You ought to lay on your face before God, but not to get something because something's been done. Hallelujah. You lay there just to praise God for what he's done, not to get him to do something. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Is this making sense to you? See, if Jesus didn't do this, I'm in trouble, people. Now, I know all of you are such saints. Glorious saints. Hallelujah. And you are. But some of you may think, well, God got a real bargain when he got me. Honey, God didn't get a bargain when he got me. He got the dregs of the earth, I think, and he had a job to do. But he didn't leave me where I was. He worked on me and brought me up out of it. Hallelujah. You think, well, you're not much now, honey. I'm a great sight better than what I used to be. Hallelujah. I'm glad Roy's not in here. He's helping them unload turkeys. If he's in here, he might have said amen. Hallelujah. No, he loves me. Jesus told us not to fear. Yet the church has put us into fear about which sin I've committed that I didn't remember to confess that will keep me out of heaven. Did that ever torment you? You know, you've confessed your sin, but what if I forget something? And I've gone back and confessed the same sin 45 times. You know, years later, I'm still confessing that sin. God's tired of you bringing that up. You know, he forgot it. Why don't you? Hallelujah. Bless God. He told us not to fear. Yet the church has put fear in us. I'm not talking about this church. I'm not talking about any particular church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. These unbelieving songs. You know, oh, what if they hadn't found somebody? Oh, my goodness, I'd be lost. Well, you're not lost. Hallelujah. What's the sense of going there? Hallelujah. Bless God. Begin to replace those thoughts with what Jesus did. Hallelujah. We have to remember that God loves people. He loves us. And he's trying to get us into heaven, not keep us out. Most of what I heard for years was how God was trying to keep me out of heaven. I figured he didn't like me much anyway. So he's up there ready to whack me on the head if I did something wrong. That's not right. That is not right. Hallelujah. He loves us, and he's trying to get us into heaven, not keep us out. He's trying to get us into the promises. Now, are there things that we can do that will build strongholds and hindrances and roadblocks, block us from the promises? But be certain God didn't put them there. You understand? He told us to follow him, listen to him, obey him. And if we'll do that, we'll have no trouble living in our promised land. You know, he sees it as a done deal. And I'll tell you this, and I've told you that before, but if you mess up, then you figure it takes you 3 or 4 days before you go to God and ask him to forgive you, because, you know, you're mad at yourself, and you figure he's mad at you. And so you beat on yourself 3 or 4 days, and then you go and ask for forgiveness, and then you can receive it. Well, honey, just go in the first place. You don't have to beat on yourself. Jesus was beaten for you. Just don't. I tell people when they get saved, you're going to mess up. But when you mess up, don't run from God, run to him. Because his arms are like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He sees me seated in heavenly places, safe from any harm that the enemy might set up. And I want to look right quick at the old priesthood and the new priesthood. If you go to Hebrews 7:7, it says in this Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of the Most High God. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice, king of Salem, which means king of peace. And where that was Jerusalem, you know. Hallelujah. There's no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors. No beginning or no end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests, who are descendants of Levi, must collect a tenth or a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham, and Melchizedek placed a blessing on Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one that's blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die, so Melchizedek is greater than they are. Because we are told that he lives on, in addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. And although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So if the priesthood of... Oh, brother. Here we go. When I touch that, sometimes I mess it up. Just stick with me. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection that God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of Levi and Aaron? See, the first priesthood was under the order of Aaron, and the new one was under the order of Melchizedek. Let's look at the contrast between the two. Under Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, they received the law. And under the law, in order to have blessings continue, you had to keep all the commandments, Deuteronomy 28. And when you couldn't keep them, you had to bring a sacrifice to the altar. God knew you wouldn't be able to keep them. That's why he sent Jesus. So in this old covenant priesthood, God had a part and man had a part. Under this covenant, your efforts were involved. You had to do something in order to get God to do something. You hear me? God would respond to what you did. Your obedience to the law would produce a blessing. Your disobedience to the law could produce a curse. There was a blessing and there was a curse. God had a part and man had a part. If man did his part right, God would bless him. If man messed up, the curse would get him. Now that's what happened under the dispensation of law. But look at Romans 6:14. Sin is no longer your master. Oh, I love this. I love this, people. Come on. I read y'all that. I got to keep this. Got to do that. I'd have had a cow out there on the altar every morning because I mess up every day. I'd have to come with my cow or my lamb or whatever. Hallelujah. Bless God. Like I say, I'm not doing anything overt, but there's things I don't do, I should do. There's thoughts I have that are not godly. Oh, bet you didn't know that, huh? Hallelujah. sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. People, that ought to be shouting ground. You no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand that? You cannot take what was true under the priesthood of Aaron and make it work in your life today. You have to go to the priesthood we are under today. See what the terms are for us today. God has installed the law not to fix people. The law was perfect, but it didn't have the ability to make sinners perfect. Do you understand that? Under the new covenant, the Melchizedek priesthood. Why the Melchizedek priesthood? See, because Abraham was a perfect picture of grace. The Abrahamic covenant was a grace covenant. I want you to see that Jesus was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Under the Melchizedek priesthood, God is the only one who has a part. Man does not have a part, just a response. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Under the law, man had a part, and it determined God's part. Now God has a part, and you do not, because your part does not determine God's part. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Abraham met Melchizedek in Genesis 14, Melchizedek showed up with bread and wine. It was the first place where communion got started. Melchizedek was the high priest. His first word was bless. There's no curse under the covenant, just blessings. No curse under this priesthood, just blessing. Hallelujah. Jesus has been made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not under Aaron, where man had a part and God had a part. I know I'm saying this over and over, but you need to get it. Hallelujah. I go over it and over it to root out some of that junk that's been in me that I put in me over the years, rooting that out and putting truth in there. Hallelujah. So under this priesthood, there's only a blessing. You have no part, only a response. God is the only one who has a part. A blessing is all you can get out of this. Your part does not determine God's part. In this priesthood, you can only respond with thanksgiving. Remember the Syrophoenician woman. No matter what he said, no matter what the devil says to you, just keep worshiping God. Just keep going after what's yours and claiming it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Under Aaron's priesthood, the blessing and the curse depended on your performance. Under the law, your being blessed was based on your obedience to the law, how you performed. Under Melchizedek, under this blessing, your performance does not determine the blessing. Why? Because the blessing is not determined by what you do, but by what Jesus has done. When we look at Genesis 14, where the five kings invaded Sodom and they took Lot and all the city, they took Lot in verse 12, and God told Abraham, you know, remember that God told Abraham, I always wondered about that. He said, leave your country, leave your kin, don't take any of your family, just go. Well, he took Lot, and he got a lot of trouble, didn't he? Hallelujah. Praise God. But when Abraham took his household servants, and they went after these five kings, and it's Genesis 14. They all, and it's verse 12. They also carried Lot, Abram's nephew, who lived in Sodom, and carried off everything he owned. But one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abram the Hebrew. Now at that time his name was Abram, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mamre the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives Eshcol and Aner were Abram's allies. When Abram heard that his nephew had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born in his household. Then they pursued Kedorlaomer, something like that, army until he caught up with them at Dan. Then he divided his men and attacked during the night. Kedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken and brought back his nephew Lot with the possessions and all the women and other captives. After Abraham returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of the Most High God. See, he's the Most High God. He's the Most High God. You understand? He's the Most High God. Maybe a lot of other gods in this world, little g, but he's the Most High God. Hallelujah, big G. He brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with his blessing. Now look at this. First thing he said to him, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, by the Most High God, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. Abram and his 318 of his household servants went up against the armies of trained men, and they beat them. See, all you need is God's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Now, I've heard it preached that the men of Abraham's household were excellent fighters. Maybe they were, but they were up against several armies who, you know, they had been trained for war, and they needed God's help. Their household servants, these are household servants. You know what they do? They cook. They clean. Hallelujah. He took them. They needed God's help. See, it doesn't matter. God will help you. Their household servants armed, getting ready to go up against trained warriors. Do you see that we need a Savior? We need God. God has to show up if we're going to survive. He had to show up if they were going to survive. Hallelujah. He divided them up and they won the battle. When you win the battle, you get the spoil. Hallelujah. Jesus won the battle. We get the spoil. Hallelujah. They won. But it wasn't by their own power. The king of Salem come out to meet Abram with bread and wine, and they needed to commune with God after that victory. Now let me read you this, and I'm about done. He was the priest of the Most High God in Genesis 14. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth, and I know I've read this, but I want you to get it, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into your hand. So far, I didn't see Abram's part in this, did you? It was all God helping them win the battle. It was God that gave them the victory. It was God that gave them the wisdom. It was God that delivered them. It was God that blessed them. And what did they do? Just respond. The only thing I see Abraham doing here is, and he gave him tithes of all. He praised God. God had delivered him. God didn't tell him to sing. Now, come on. Under the law, they had to sing. God didn't tell him to march around the city 7 times. He didn't tell him to offer up a bull. He just showed up with the blessing. He didn't tell him to throw a tree in the water, did he? He just showed up with the blessing. Oh, glory to God. Come on, people. Hallelujah. He came. Hallelujah. And he just said, blessed are you. And he began to bless him. He didn't expect him to do anything but respond. And Abraham kept responding. He gave him the tithe of all, and he began to worship. He praised the Lord. God had delivered him. Hallelujah. Under the law, they had to march around the wall. Under the law, they had to throw a tree in the water. Under the law, they had to hold Moses' arms up. But here, all he did was give thanks after the battle. Trust God, and he'll show up and release a blessing. And all you have to do, ha ha, glory to God, you don't have to fast 40 days. You can if you want to. You don't have to read your Bible 15 chapters every day. You don't have to pray 6 hours a day, and you can do all that if you want to, but you don't have to. He'll just show up and bless you. Trust God, and he'll show up, and he'll release a blessing, and all you have to do is say thank you. Are you ready to trust God? Verse 21 says that the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, even a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest anyone should say, I have made Abram rich. Abraham was saying, I'm in covenant with God. I trust him, and I don't need anything from man. See, I don't have to tell you my needs. All I got to just tell him. Hallelujah. God's my source, and he takes care of me. He's my way in. He's my way out. He's my high tower. He's my strength, and I trust him. Let me read this to you. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Close your eyes and listen to this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence. I mean, there's a lot of pestilence around today. Hallelujah. All kinds of diseases we never heard of. All kinds of junk in the air. But he said, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Says, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When you're hearing all this junk going on, Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and all this, don't be afraid. God said, I don't have to be afraid. Listen to the next one. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. He said, there will be no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For God will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion. Oh, glory. Do you know what? That lion roars and carries on. He said, you're going to tread upon it. He didn't say some little old lion that's half dead. He said, you'll tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the ferocious one, and the dragon, not just a little teeny snake, the dragon shall you trample underfoot. Because you, then he turns and he says, because you set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you've known my name. See yourself there. Hallelujah. You'll call upon me and I'll answer you. I'll be with you in trouble. And he's not just with us to watch us get pushed through a knothole backwards. He's with us. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and I'll honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and I'll show you my salvation. Sometimes we have more faith in our ability, our way of doing things than we do in God. We put a lot of faith in what we've done for Jesus and a little faith in what he's done for us. Can you say amen? We must trust God. There's nothing else we can do. He said, call unto me and I'll answer you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you go to him, he'll tell you. He'll tell you how much he loves you. He'll not tell you how much, you know, how you've not fasted and you've not prayed enough and you've not meditated the word enough. He'll never tell you that. He won't condemn you. His blessing on you have nothing to do with how much you read your Bible and pray. How many times you go to church in a week. He's not good to you because you're good to him. He'll be good to you if you're never good to him. Isn't that good? Get rid of the legalistic religion that tells you have to earn your healing. You don't have to earn what Jesus did for you at no charge. While we were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Jesus was on the cross for you before you ever born. Before anybody ever got born again. See, it's not your work or effort. God decided to love you, to grace you, to give you gifts. Trust your Savior. You don't have to understand it. Just trust him. He'll bring you out. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you out of them all. That's Psalms 34. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:11 says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? See, God will never beat you up. God is no longer holding your sins against you. Come on home. Your sins have been taken care of. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to be ashamed. He said, I can take care of you and I can fix whatever's wrong. You don't have to. Somebody really needs this this morning. I mean, you really need it. Grab hold of it. Hallelujah. You don't have to feel guilty. Jesus in the blood has been released to save mankind from his sin. He released his grace upon you, and his goodness will cause you to fall in love with God and repent. You can be free. This is the gospel, people, the good news. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, get what was paid for. You're about to experience the supernatural in your life, in your family, in your business, in your kids. Hallelujah. Bev, come just a minute. We're gonna do something just a minute. We're gonna pray over you since we're not gonna bring you up here. We're gonna pray over you. And I want you to receive. Man, there's been enough gospel preached here this morning to get you healed. Get you set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I call all confusion out. I just call confusion. Lord, where the religious spirits would jump up and say, what about this and what about that? We bind that spirit of confusion now. And I say, you come out. You come out. We're not having confusion here in Jesus' name. I just proclaim the truth. And I ask God that the eyes of the understanding of these people be open, God, where they can see the truth and hear the truth. We bind every spirit of dissension and confusion. And we call it out. Religious spirits, you won't even come in here. If you don't want to get the blood of Jesus all over you, you'll get up and get out now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, by choice of my will, I come out of agreement with religion, with legalism, with earning anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I come into agreement today that free gift of God, Jesus Christ, has freely given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. So today I thank you, Lord. It's freely mine, and I choose to receive it. I choose to receive healing because it was freely given to me. You paid for it, and I don't have to do anything to earn it. I just receive it. Lord, I thank you for provision. I thank you, Lord, that you are my provider, that you've paid it all. And Lord, I position myself today to receive all the finances that I need. I thank you, Lord. I position myself today to become debt free, to have more than enough, to be blessed with all things in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that I believe and my house is saved. That, Lord, you've made provision even for my family. Lord, I thank you that in Christ Jesus are all things. So, Lord, I agree today with what your word says, that it's mine. So I receive it. I thank you for it. I thank you. I don't have to do anything for it, but be your child. So I thank you. It's mine.
Mine. Amen. Now I want you to, Hallelujah. Some of you are carrying, I mean, you're just carrying a load. I mean, you are, you just, it's keeping you up at night. There's somebody in here that's been, I want you to take, and even if it's not keeping you up, if there's something, this is a prophetic act, okay? Put your hands here. We're going to take that out of your heart, and we're going to sling that over on the Lord. Come on, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Cast it over on the Lord. Just cast it over on the Lord. Now, leave it there. Leave it there. Are you healed? Do you have freedom? Are you prosperous? Are all your needs met? Hallelujah. Are you going to worry anymore? Amen. 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 That was beautiful, Beth. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, I pray over everyone here. I ask, God, that you seal that in them. Seal that word up, God. And don't allow them to leak any of that out. And I just put each one of them in your hands, God, asking that you bless them, you encourage them, you help them, and you strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen.